The United Nations Special Envoy for Syria, Staffan de Mistura, condemned the deadly suicide bomb attacks in Damascus yesterday, saying they aimed to derail peace talks as the country marked the sixth anniversary of the uprising. At least 31 people were killed in a suicide bomb attack at the main judicial court complex in the centre of the Syrian capital. Later, another suicide bomber attacked a restaurant in the western district of Rabwa, injuring more than 20 people. Staying with Syria, and the ongoing conflict has forced thousands of people to flee and has left countless others who have remained trapped in besieged areas throughout the country. Within Syria, the charity Christian Aid is supporting partners who provide hot meals to people recently displaced by the bombing of towns northeast of the capital, Damascus. Mairead Collins, advocacy officer for Syria with the organisation, spoke to me about assisting people there and the need for world leaders to act now and bring to an end the suffering.
Just to look at the statistics, you have 13.5 million people inside Syria needing humanitarian assistance, 0.3 million people who are displaced. Just earlier this week, I spoke with our partner who's based in the area around rural Damascus, and they were dealing with just in 2 weeks after an area in that countryside area was bombed, you had upwards of 20,000 people being displaced within 2 weeks into another area around eastern Ghouta. So these are people, at the moment there's something like 6,000 people being displaced on a weekly basis. There's a constant humanitarian crisis ongoing and it's not being recognized for what it is. And rather than people thinking about the various military and militants and armed factions fighting, that this is the real impact on the ground.
We're also seeing the knock-on impact, I mean, with regard to Syrians that are forced to flee, the knock-on impact for them as they try to get to other countries, when they get there, and also the countries trying to deal with them as well.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Aid is working in Lebanon and to an extent also in northern Iraq, but all of the borders of these countries now are officially closing their gates to people. You cannot come to Lebanon anymore and be registered officially as a refugee, which is not to say that people aren't still coming, but it means that when they come, they're not able to access services. And then to a lesser extent, of course, people are seeing the refugee crisis as it's coming to Europe and the levels of desperation that are on people's shoulders to actually have them make that very perilous journey.
Just regarding Christian Aid and your partners on the ground there, what is it that the people need the most at the moment? There's also the infrastructure. I imagine that there's, you know, lack of education facilities, hospital facilities, things like that. But on a day-to-day basis, also the basics as well.
Well, I mean, our partner in rural Damascus, the project that they will be starting within the next couple of days for those people who are freshly displaced, will be just very much on a provision of food, providing around 9,000 people with one hot meal a day. But I mean, and that's 9,000. That's not the total of the number of people who are displaced. And bearing in mind that these people will generally have been displaced at least three times already. So there's those very basic relief needs. And actually what our partner said to us the other day was that these people now no longer are thinking in terms of politics and how the outcome. All they want at this stage is just to have the opportunity to live and not to die. And so it's those kind of things. And it's, you know, access to things like just in the last couple of days, the UN have said that in December 2016, there was an intentional bombing of water springs in the rural Damascus area, which led to water being cut off for 5.5 million people. So those kind of things are there all the time. But I think, you know, we talk about children being excluded from education and so on. I think it's more, again, than just the education. I put that in inverted commas because education is huge in terms of the need for this. This is the future of Syria that is now being impacted. And I read a report earlier this week specifically on the impact on children where a worker in Idlib, somebody who's working with children, said that they are facing a generation that is emotionally destroyed. And this is the generation that will be needed to build Syria.
You were talking about being at a conference there. What do you feel about the political will to, after 6 years? Because it does seem amazing that after 6 years, Syria is still in the same position that it was 6 years ago.
I guess, and what's coming out very clearly at this particular conference is that there are so many parties to this conflict, and the extent to which it is a war that has been fought out with so many international actors having an interest in it. So that's, I guess, part of it. But I mean, there is still time for people to act, and the upcoming Brussels conference on April 5th allows that possibility. There will be hopefully a part of their conference, as I understand it, but it's not been fully clarified, will be about the reconstruction and about the future of Syria. And that needs to include civil society, that needs to include Syrians, and it needs to be a just future as well.